The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Hey, way to go, guys. Thank you so much. Good. Hey, Brother Bell, if you can get everybody in from the hallways, that'd be good. And that way we can get people in. Hey, this is important tonight. This is very good. Mark, let's go back to it. Mark chapter 14, verse 33. I announced that we were on vacation, and I asked my family, I said, where do you want to go on vacation? Anywhere you want to go in the U.S. My family said, California. I'd like to go to California. And I said, okay, let me work it out. And so I was able, because I fly overseas a lot, I do pastors' conferences, I had all these miles built up. And so God blessed us in a wonderful way, and we were able to purchase four tickets for $40 round trip. You couldn't beat that. And then we're able to get a car and drive over from where we land all over different places in California we wanted to see. While we're in the air flying to California, we had landed, and of course it hit the news about this actor by the name of Robin Williams that had committed suicide, and a very tragic thing. And then later on we found out, of course, the those that were doing the news briefings and stuff like that, that he had over and over had trouble with what they call clinical depression. And so that was the reason they said that he did what he did do. And so I started studying some things about depression. By the way, there's no problem that you have tonight, but there's not a Bible antidote. Amen. It's not a one problem. Not one problem tonight that you cannot overcome through that which is the Word of God. So I started studying the Bible to see, okay, if a person does get depressed, what is the antidote? What is the remedy of that? Now, thank God we do have a Bible. Thank God we do have a God that cares about us, that gives us all the Bible answers that we need to have. And so I started studying that. So tonight, I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm not going to draw the sermon out. It's not going to be it's not going to be an hour and 12-minute message tonight. If you amen real good, we'll trim it down a little bit, you know, and get it down just a little bit shorter, and we'll make sure that we get it done, okay? But here we go. Here's what the Bible teaches. And by the way, you're going to find this interesting, especially if you pay attention. You know, if you pay good attention, you always get more out of things. Brother Perales got up and he said, dear God, please help us get something out of the message. Can I tell you, you're always going to get something out of the message if you look for it like he's looking for it tonight. You're going to get something out of it. So just pay good attention and you won't get lost in that which is the facts. Okay, here it is. Book of Mark chapter 14, verse 33. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says he taketh with him Peter, James, and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 37. That was Mark 14, 33. Matthew 26 and verse 37, the Bible says, and he took with him Peter, and it says the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now this was a time in our Lord Jesus' life when he is facing the pressure of all the world. And the Bible says that he began to be very heavy. Now, you can say that that is a form of, a type of depression. We're not going to go that far. We do know this, that when he was very heavy, there were some things that he knew that he could put in his place. We're going to study it contextually here, that would help him to overcome. There's some things he did not do that helped him to be able to overcome, so that when you do reach that pinnacle point of what our society calls depression, you'll also be able to overcome that. Here's what they say. Nearly 19 million Americans, or about 10% of the U.S. population, ages 18 years of age and older, suffer depression every year. They say preschoolers are the fastest market for antidepressant medicine. Over 1 million preschoolers are diagnosed as being clinically depressed every single year. That's an annual rate of increase for depression among children at 23% a year. Last year, there was $51 billion that companies had to pay out for absenteeism and also loss of productivity due to depression. Antidepressants work, they say, the doctors say antidepressants work. about 35 to 45% of the time when taken, such as Prozac, Zoloft, and things of that nature. They work about 35 to 45% of the time. There was a preacher of yesteryear. He was called the Reformer. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther one day went into a closet, shut the door, stayed in there 3 days. His wife came to him and said, "What's wrong? Are you coming out?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm not coming out." She took morning clothes, threw them in there. He had already shaved his head. He put the morning clothes on, mourning, like you're mourning somebody that died. And she threw the morning clothes in there. He put them on. He put them on. And she said, "I guess you need to wear them the rest of the days of your life, because after all, he certainly is dead in your life." She said, "What do you mean he's dead? Who are you talking about?" She said, "God. God must be dead in your life. Therefore, you need to wear the mourning clothes all the rest of your day." That was such a shock to his belief that he decided to take the mourning clothes off, come out, and get a grip on life. Let me give you some reasons for depression. Here's what they say. Causes for depression. Number one, a physical change. When there's a physical change, sometimes it brings depression. The Bible says over in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, here's Elijah. Elijah, of course, just won, if you would, the battle against the prophets of Baal there at Mount Carmel. And the Bible teaches that now Elijah is on the run. There's Jezebel. Jezebel had threatened his life. He had traveled over 100 miles to escape Jezebel. As he travels from that which is Jezreel to over to Beersheba, he travels over 100 miles. When he gets there, here's what he does. He finds a juniper tree, sits down, or he finds a place to be depressed, much like Jonah went through when he hit depression in his life. And the Bible teaches that here, this man of God cried out and said, basically, "I wish I never was born. I wish that I was dead." He wanted to commit suicide. Now why? He was physically exhausted. I mean, he had gone through a great emotional challenge. He had gone through some physical exhaustionness with that which is facing the prophets of Baal. And then he left, went 100 miles, if you would please, on foot, and traveled to a distant place. He's physically exhausted. And when he's physically exhausted, he got depressed to the point, to the place he thought about committing suicide. I find that people, when they get physically exhausted, when they've given everything that they've got, they don't have any more to give. I find that sometimes a person like that will think about doing things they never would have thought about doing had they not been physically exhausted at the time. Sometimes a person will have an illness that comes upon them, and because of that illness, it takes such a strain on their physical body that they think about committing suicide. They think about discontinuing their life. They get into an all complete low simply because they're physically exhausted. Another reason is because not just of a physical change, but because of a relationship change. Sometimes people get depressed because of old age. It's not that they didn't know it would come. They just never accepted the fact that it would come to them. And so they get depressed because of old age. Sometimes they go through that relationship change. If you remember, there was Solomon. Solomon had all that anybody could ever want. And yet the Bible teaches in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, that he's venting himself. And you can see the state of depression that he's in. As he said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." Sometimes because of a relationship change, people get depressed. Sometimes because a child has cancer and they lose the child to cancer, they'll get depressed. Sometimes because a husband is maybe getting on drugs or coming off of drugs, or maybe losing a job, or maybe it's the time when a husband and wife are going through a traumatic time because one is having an affair with someone else, or maybe the bills pile up, or maybe it's the last child that leaves the home, and now all of a sudden you feel the empty nest syndrome coming on. But all these things many times will cause depression, a relationship change. It's interesting to read, if you will, the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, the weeping prophets grieving over lost Israel, the homeland being turned into captivity. You'll find out there's five chapters in the book of Lamentations, you'll find out that the chapter number 1, chapter number 2, chapter number 4, and chapter number 5, you'll find out that in those 22 verses that's in those particular chapters, each one of them begin and end with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Here's what he's doing. He is giving out his heart going through the alphabet. He knows that things are bothering him so much that he's taking notes specifically of what those things are. And he's naming them out according to the alphabet. You ever do that? You ever put a list down and say, well, this bothers me, this bothers me, this bothers me, this bothers me. And you write your list out about the things that are bothering you. The book of Lamentations has 5 chapters in. Interesting, the 3rd chapter has 66 verses in that particular chapter. And you'll find out that he goes through that Hebrew alphabet 3 times in that middle chapter, if you will, chapter 3. What he's doing, he's naming all those things that's bothering him, all those things that's disturbing him, all those things that's pulling him down. Now, I want to tell you tonight, if a preacher can get depressed that has a semblance of walking with God, so can a person that's not a preacher. If a person can get depressed because of that which is the world's pressure upon them, and it looks like from the outwardness of them, they've got it all together. I can tell you, for those that sit here tonight, which is the majority, that doesn't have it all together, you can face depression in your life. Statement number 3, sometimes it's an environmental change. An environmental change. You know, some people have a hard time living in clutter. Some people have a hard time living in a mess. They walk into the house is all a mess, everything's in disarray. Sometimes that can bring discouragement. It can bring depression. Sometimes there's a poor self-image that brings depression. Somebody said this, some people suffer from that which is stinking thinking. You know, sometimes you can dwell on something so much. Well, I can't do it. God's not going to come through. God can't change it. It's out of God's hands. It looks like it's going to be a total disaster. You can actually talk yourself in to being depressed. Remember Naomi? Naomi left the homeland. Her name Naomi simply means this: pleasant, lovely, delightful. That's what Naomi's name means. Bible says that she came back to the homeland after sojourning for a long time, lost her husband, lost her 2 sons, coming back to Bethlehem, or coming back to that which is Bethel, the house of bread. So when she comes back into the city, she looks at the people that's facing her and says, no more should you call me Naomi. I want you to call me Mara. Now, wait a minute. She said that. Nobody gave her the name Mara. She chose the name Mara. Why did she choose for people to call her Mara? Simply because she said, for God hath dealt bitterly with me. She chose that. That was her outlook. She could have came walking home and said, hey, I'm back. Hey, this is Naomi. And people would have accepted her as being pleasant, as being lovely, as being delightful. But she chose the way that people would view her. Can I tell you tonight that sometimes people will get depressed because they allow the environment to be able to change them. Sometimes, and most of your medical doctors that are counselors that are lost will not tell you this one, but sometimes because it's a spiritual warfare against you. They leave that part out because they have no knowledge of that part. And so here you go to somebody that doesn't know their Bible, somebody that doesn't walk with God, and you say, give me advice. By the way, I think if you do that, you're not wise. I think you ought to go to somebody that knows the Bible. This book is your directional guide. This book is a love letter from God. This book will help you to be able to know what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do. You ought to make sure that every decision in your life lines up with the Bible. David had sinned When David sinned, he remembered his sin in Psalm 32. When he remembered his sin, it put him in such a depth of depression that he had a hard time coming out of that. But the doctors wouldn't say that. Jesus now is entering in to that which is the Garden of Gethsemane. He's entering into probably the biggest battle of his life. This is a greater challenge than the time that he had fasted and prayed and was tempted on the mount by the devil when he said three times, "It is written, it is written, it is written." This is a greater temptational time. Why was it that now Jesus was getting ready to enter into this? And what did Jesus do? I want to give it to you tonight. What do you do? All of a sudden now, it seems like the devil, remember, the Bible says that you're supposed to hold up the shield of faith. Why? That you may be able to stand against the fiery darts, plural. Not just one. The devil's not going to take one shot at you tonight and leave you alone. The Bible says you're supposed to beware of his devices, plural. Doesn't say his device. He's not going to use just one device on you and say, "Okay, it didn't work. Give up. You're too good a Christian. I'll walk away." No, the more that you do for God, the more you set yourself up to be attacked by the wicked one. He's going to throw many darts at you. He's going to have many devices against you. Hey, I want to help you tonight. You know, the devil tries to get you out of church. The devil tries to get you out of your Bible. The devil tries to get you to ruin your marriage. The devil tries to get you to give up on your children. The devil will try to get you to give up on him. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to be faithful to God. He don't want you to read your Bible. He don't want you to stand up and be counted for Christ. What's he trying to do? He tries to destroy you. And I tell you, friend, if he can destroy you through that which is depression tonight, he'll ruin you forever. Amen. Now, what is it tonight that we can do? Use your Bible tonight and notice what God says to you in his word. Look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus," it says, "with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Must have been a southern place, yonder. Amazing what you can get out of your Bible when you study it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 37, the Bible says, "And he took," it says, "with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." So here Jesus is. Now watch what it says. "And he took with him," he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Statement number one, how do you climb out of the pit of depression? Statement number one, learn from this. Jesus did not isolate himself. Amen. Jesus is walking over. You listen to me tonight. One of the worst things you can do in your life, when you get depressed and you get down, is to try to bear the weight by yourself. Devil, put this in your head. I'm down. I'm discouraged. Nobody understands me. I've got to bear it all by myself. Hey, can I tell you tonight, God gave you a mama, God gave you a daddy, God gave you a preacher, God gave you friends that will help you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you're facing depression in your life, follow the pattern of the Lord. Here's one thing he did not do. He did not go facing that which was the weight of the world upon himself by himself. The Bible says that here Jesus looked over to the sons of Zebedee. Jesus looked over to Peter and he said, "Hey, I'm going to go pray. Come with me. Come with me." I worry about Christians that sit around sucking their thumbs saying, "Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms." I worry about Christians that walk along and say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm the Lone Ranger. I'm the Lone Ranger," or "I'm Superman." They wear the big old Superman. For the young men, when they do this, the chest pops out. For us that are older, when we do this, the belly pops out. Jesus did not isolate himself. Here's what the Bible says, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. God did not make it for you to walk alone. That's why he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why he says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says, how can a two walk together lest they be agreed? That's true. But you can agree on this, that walking together is better than walking by yourself. Because the Bible says, when a man walks alone and he falleth, he hath not another to pick him up. Everybody needs friends in their life. Friends that will love you, help you, not try to use you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, if any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Preacher, what do you get out of that? A true friend that's going to help you. Come here, Brother Jonathan. And so a true friend walking beside you, we're walking down the road, and all of a sudden you begin to stumble, you begin to fall. True friend's going to lift you up, say, look, we can trust God together. He is not going to point you to himself. He's going to point you to somebody bigger than himself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on now, Jonathan. You can trust God. Come on. You can make it. Come on. Hey, I'll try and walk beside you, try and help you as much as I can, but you're going to have to trust God. One day I won't be around. One day I'll be dead. I'll be gone. Hey, look, you got to trust God. You got to believe in God. You've got to put your faith in God. Let God help you. All right, wait, watch. So number one, he did not isolate himself. Statement number two, what did he do to climb out of the pit of depression? Jesus did not put on a mask and pretend that everything was okay. We have an element of pride in our society, especially among the men. I can handle everything. I don't need anybody. Now I'm going to tell you, I know we live in Texas, but Texans still need God. Here's what the Bible says. Look in your Bible. Here's your antidote. God gives you an antidote. How do you climb out of the pit of depression? Number one, Jesus did not isolate himself. Number two, Jesus did not put on a mask and pretend that everything was okay. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. The Bible says, and he said unto them, he says, my soul is, watch what it says, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch what he says, and watch with me. Again, he's involving other people. Watch what he says here. So Jesus did not put on the mask. He said, man, he said, I'm heavy. I've got to tarry here. I'm sorrowful, even almost to the point of death. I don't even know if I'm going to survive. And he talked to those men right there that he had confidence in, and said this. He said, look, this is who I really am right now. Can I tell you something? If Jesus admitted that he was sorrowful and was glad somebody was there, then why can't you do that? You ready? Here we go. Statement number three. Jesus prayed and was honest with God. He prayed and was honest with God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Bible says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup, it says, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said, God, I want your will. Some people, are you ready? Get depressed because they're doing their own thing. And it's all about them. I deserve, I need, it's I'm being left out. I mean, after all, look who I am. It's all about them. All right, Jesus prayed, was honest with God. He said, God, he said, look, I went a little farther, fell on my face, I prayed, oh my God. By the way, only God can help you. Here's what David said over in Psalm 18 and verse 6. He says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. And I cried, it says, unto my God, and he heard my voice out of the temple. And my cry, it says, came before him, even in his ears. He cried to God. You ready? Depressed, where do I go? I'd say first person you go to is God. I say you don't go to somebody that doesn't know their Bible. That's why God gave you a pastor. Run to that preacher and say, give me some Bible principles. But wait a minute, when the preacher gives you Bible principles, hey, wait a minute, even from the pulpit, you know, you're attending a Bible-believing Baptist church. You're going to receive truth from the Bible every time you come. All right, wait a minute. What do? You say, okay, I know God's got something for me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look. I'm going to pay attention. God's going to speak to my heart. God's got a special message from him to me. He's using his messenger boy tonight. That's all a preacher is. He's using his messenger boy tonight to give me what I need. So what do? You come to church excited, ready to take some. Never get to a point in a place in your life where you feel like you know everything and nobody can tell you anything. Don't get mad at me, but in the Bible, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you get to a point and a place in your heart where you're coming to church and saying, I don't need God. Man, I got it all down. Man, I'm good. I mean, I got it all down. And can I tell you, when you get in that place where you think that you don't need God, you're in dire straits and needing God more. Here's what we understand. Jesus did not isolate himself. Jesus did not put on a mask and pretend everything was okay. Jesus prayed and was honest with God. Statement number next. Jesus did not, think about this, get trapped into blaming others who could not understand or bear his burden. Well, you're my friend. Why don't you understand? I'm coming to you for counsel. Why? Don't. You understand? You're supposed to understand. Don't get mad at a person that doesn't understand your burden like you understand your burden. Nobody else lives in your mind. Nobody else lives in your heart. Nobody else, you say, well, I wish everybody could understand what I'm going through. They can't. They never will. Because they're not going through it. You are. That's why God gives you a personal antidote. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus did not get trapped into blaming others who could not understand or bear his burden. Here's what the Bible says. I'm almost done. Here it is. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. The Bible says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Wow, they really care. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go yonder. I'm going to pray. You stay here, and you watch and pray. That's what he said. So he leaves them there just believing that they're going to bear his burden. Watch what happens. The Bible says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? Verse 41, Matthew 26. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Notice your Bible. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 43. Bible says, and he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. Matthew chapter 26, verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Came back, sleep. There sounds like they didn't have his burden. Okay, here's what we do. Here's what we do. Brother Crutcher, stand. Here's what we do. I go up to a brother. Brother says to me, hey, can you pray with me about this?
Can you pray with me about this?
Sure. Walk away and we forget it three steps out. You know why? Most people do not do a good job in carrying the burdens of others. Now, if you're honest, you don't do a good job either. Most of the time, we're very kind to people. We're congenial towards people. But to be honest with you, we're not completely honest. Go up to a brother. You see him crying, bawling his eyes out because he took a senior trip. They wore him out, physically exhausted, coming back. Found out some kids got demerits while he was gone. Matt just got a burden, bawling his eyes out. Hey, you doing good? So somebody comes up, man, I see you got a burden. Man, I love you. Let's pray. Father, help Brother Crutcher. Amen. You walk away and forget it. Can I tell you, most people's lives, don't get mad at people. Most people live busy lives. You know, we got men in this room that's going to get up 4:30 tomorrow morning and go to work. We got men in this room that will walk into a law firm office. We got people that's going to walk in hospitals tomorrow. We got people that's going to walk in a university classroom tomorrow. We got people that's going to work on dump trucks tomorrow. We got people that are going to go out tomorrow and they're going to work for the city. We got people that's going to go and they're going to work as a manager or an employee at some store that you go in and it's a retail store, you buy stuff. Everybody in here has different lives. So if everybody in here has different lives, you have to understand tonight, please give them grace because they only view life through their eyes. They can't view life through your eyes. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Well, I wish my mom understood me. She just doesn't understand. Duh. Now, she loves you. She will try to understand. She'll do her best to understand because she loves you. But give her a little grace if she doesn't understand everything. Well, my dad, he just doesn't understand. I wish my daddy would get a grip. He's trying. He's honestly trying. Well, I wish my Sunday school teacher would be a better Sunday school teacher. I sit there and I get nothing out of it. Maybe you need to try. Well, you know, my husband, he just doesn't love me. Look for it. You'll see it. My wife, she just doesn't love me. Look for it. You'll probably see it. Okay, watch. You ready? I'm almost done. Here we go. Two different types of people come to church tonight in every church in the Dallas Metro. You ready? There are those that come to church saying, man, I can't wait. Can't wait. Man, it's 5:45. I wish I'd get here. Wish I'd get here. Just wish it would get here. 5:05. Man, come on, hurry up. Start that service. Wow. Oh, wow. They're getting ready to walk out. Wow. We're going to sing. Hurry up, Palmore. Get it over with. Get it over with. Yeah, preacher's going to get it. It's not because the preacher's great. It's because the Bible's great. Well, you know, I think the preacher's going to get... No, it's not the preacher. It's not the preacher. It's not the preacher! It's God! And God is the one that can meet your needs tonight. Here's what it says. Watch this. Jesus did not isolate... He's climbing. Jesus did not isolate himself. He'll help you climb. He did not put a mask on and pretend that everything was okay. He prayed and he was honest with God. By the way, don't go to other people and confess your sins. We're not Catholic. We don't have any confessions booth tonight. I'm not going to tell you how many times to pray for the rosary. I do have one if you'd like to use it, however, from years ago. Jesus prayed, was honest with God. Jesus did not get trapped into blaming others who could not completely understand what he was bearing. Statement number next, almost done. Here it is, almost done. I'm finishing. Two more points, I'm done. Here it is. Here's the next point. Jesus prayed through and received strength from God. He got alone with God, prayed through. That's an old saying, isn't it? Just pray it through. They used to say that about salvation. Pray it through. I said, not just give him a soul winner that'll help him. But there is times when you just meet with God and say, God, I can't get up. Like, you remember? David, wasn't it right, Doc? David grabbed the horns of the altar and would not let go. Is that right? Was it David? Grabbed the horns of the altar, would not let go. Was it Jacob? Wrestled that night with the angel of God, some say the Lord, but wrestled that night and would not let go. And he said, until you bless me. Is that right? Is that right? There has to come some times in your life when you realize it's you and God, and God can help you. Here's what it says. Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. The Bible says, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, watch it now, watch it, thy will be done. See, he wasn't interested in his will. God, you give me what I want to do. Can I tell you something? You won't always get to do what you want to do, but God does expect you to do what he wants you to do. Sometimes it takes many ingredients in a cake to make the cake turn out right. Taste the ingredients by itself, it's awful. Put it all together, put it in, bake it, pull it out, beautiful, wonderful, delicious, fulfilling. Wow. Look at verse 44. The Bible says, and he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. By the way, there's a teaching there on prayer, said the same words. Well, I prayed this once and God didn't answer. Must not be God's will. Jesus prayed it again, 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 again. When he says to knock, it's in a perpetual state. When he says to ask, it's in the perpetual state. When he says to seek, it's in a perpetual state, a continuance. Here we go. Verse 42, the Bible says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, again, he's putting his will in the Father's will. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Putting his complete will in God's will. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Who sent the angel? God. Who can send someone to help you? God. Last point, I'm done. He did not isolate himself. He did not put a mask on, pretend everything was okay. Statement number three, he prayed and was honest with God. Statement number four, Jesus did not get trapped into blaming others that could not understand what he was bearing. Statement number next, Jesus prayed through and received strength from God. Last statement, I'm done. Jesus faced, listen to it now, his crises and took action in God's strength. He faced his actions, or he faced his crises and took action in God's strength. Okay, watch this. I'm done. Here it is. Verse 45. It says, then cometh, it says, he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. He didn't get mad at them. You don't understand. He didn't get mad at them. Man, he said, look, man, I'm going to go over here and pray. You stay here. You pray. He comes back. They're snoring. He says, couldn't you stay awake at least an hour? Look, man, I got a burden. Couldn't you stay awake at least an hour? Man, I need you. He didn't say any of that. All he said is, couldn't you stay awake an hour? That's about it. Went back over to pray. Came back again. He came back again. He looked down at him and said, went back over, but didn't get mad at him. He didn't kick him. He didn't say any words against them. Here's what he did. He just went over, prayed by himself, said, God, you're going to have to be the one. You're going to have to be the one. Verse 45, he says this, then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, he says, and take your rest. Or, why is he saying that? Notice what he says. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And he knew what was going to happen. But never one time did he get mad, saying, don't you understand? They're about to take me. They're going to crucify me. Don't you care? Not one time. Not one time. Sounds like he was a very forgiving individual. Verse 46, last verse I'll read, we'll have an invitation. He says, rise and let us be going. He said, man, you got your rest. Go ahead and get up now. Go ahead and get up. We got to go. He says, behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He's very calm, knew what was going to happen, wasn't upset about it. Isaiah gives a wonderful picture as a lamb led before the slaughterer. Can I tell you tonight, listen to me, there's a way to climb out of depression. Well, you know, I just think I'm going to go out and commit suicide. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Well, I tell you what, I'm depressed. My husband don't understand. Wife don't understand. Children don't understand. Parents don't understand. I'm just going to get mad at them. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Well, if my friend really loved me, they would understand. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Maybe what you need to do is go to God. Say, God, here am I. You're the only one that can help me. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being depressed. By the way, watch this. Depressed people normally do the very first thing very well. They always walk by themselves, never pleased, and always sulking. They want everybody to have sympathy on them. So not like what Jesus is doing. He's going to the Father. They're crying on everybody. No, wait. What about God? What about God? Can't we get along with God? Is God that small in your life? Can't you get God to help you? Hello? I learned this many years ago. Done. Here it is. You only go to somebody that has the power to make change. Amen. Who has more power than man? God does. God does. So you go to God. Say, dear God, I need you. Change my life. Bob.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.